brought to you by Penguin.
East of Eden by John Steinbeck, read by Simon Manyonda. Pascal Cavici. Dear Pat, you came upon me carving some kind of little figure out of wood, and you said, "Why don't you make something for me?" I asked you what you wanted, and you said, "A box." "What for?" "To put things in." "What things?" "Whatever you have," you said. "Well, here's your box. Nearly everything I have is in it, and it is not full. Pain and excitement are in it, and feeling good or bad, and evil thoughts and good thoughts, the pleasure of design and some despair, and the indescribable joy of creation. And on top of these are all the gratitude and love I have for you. And still, the box is not full. John." Part 1. Chapter 1. 1. The Salinas Valley is in Northern California. It is a long, narrow swale between two ranges of mountains, and the Salinas River winds and twists up the center until it falls at last into Monterey Bay. I remember my childhood names for grasses and secret flowers. I remember where a toad may live, and what time the birds awaken in the summer, and what trees and seasons smelled like, how people looked and walked and smelled even. The memory of odors is very rich. I remember the Gabalon Mountains to the east of the valley were light, gay mountains, full of sun and loveliness, and a kind of invitation, so that you wanted to climb into their warm foothills almost as you want to climb into the lap of a beloved mother. They were beckoning mountains, with a brown grass love. The Santa Lucias stood up against the sky to the west and kept the valley from the open sea. They were dark and brooding, unfriendly and dangerous. I always found in myself a dread of west and a love of east. Where I ever got such an idea, I cannot say, unless it could be that the morning came over the peaks of the Gabalons and the night drifted back from the ridges of the Santa Lucias. It may be that the birth and death of the day has some part in my feeling about the two ranges of the mountains. From both sides of the valley, little streams slipped out of the hill canyons and fell into the bed of the Salinas River. In the winter of wet years, the streams ran full freshet, and they swelled the river until sometimes it raged and boiled bank full, and then it was a destroyer. The river tore the edges of the farmlands and washed whole acres down. It toppled barns and houses into itself to go floating and bobbing away. It trapped cows and pigs and sheep and drowned them in its muddy brown water and carried them to the sea. Then, when the late spring came, the river drew in from its edges and the sandbanks appeared. And in the summer, the river didn't run at all above ground. Some pools would be left in the deep swirl places under a high bank. The tules and grasses grew back, and willows straightened up with the flood debris in their upper branches. The Salinas was only a part-time river. The summer sun drove it underground. It was not a fine river at all, but it was the only one we had, and so we boasted about it. How dangerous it was in wet winter, and how dry it was in a dry summer. You can boast about anything if it's all you have. Maybe the less you have, the more you are required to boast. The floor of the Salinas Valley, between the ranges and below the foothills, is level, because this valley used to be the bottom of a 100-mile inlet from the sea. The river mouth at Moss Landing was centuries ago the entrance to this long inland water. Once, 50 miles down the valley, my father bored a well. The drill came up first with topsoil, and then with gravel, and then with white sea sand, full of shells, and even pieces of whalebone. There were 20 feet of sand, and then black earth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?